Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening. This is Rob Wilson with Cowboy Wisdom, NLI Radio. And tonight you're in for a special treat. We're going to teach you how to promote yourself and use a promoter to promote your business. And I want to introduce you to Jeannie Ferrara. And I imagine I didn't do good on that last name.
Anyway, actually, you did do it.
Oh, okay. Anyway, and I want to, Jeannie's with the Thy Word Public Relations, and she's also the author of two books, but I was on her website last night, and it intrigued me. She said something on there, too blessed to be stressed. I love that. How did you come up with that?
Oh, thanks, Rob. Thank you so much for having me. I want to tell you that, first of all, and good evening. But the too blessed to be stressed is probably from my experiences in being a single mom for lots of years. And I had always imagined there were two ways to look at it, that you could either feel sorry for yourself and muddle on and pretty much train your children to have that same type of thinking, or you could make the best with what you got. And I considered myself very blessed. I have three awesome children, and they have taught me much and taken me places in my life that I never thought I would go. And I am. I'm too blessed to be stressed.
And also, you're an author of two books. One is called The Fatherless American. Tell people kind of about that book and what it's all about.
I sure will. Thank you so much for asking. I appreciate that. The Fatherless American, the growing minority that is changing America, actually came from my time at the University of Phoenix. In my mid-40s, I went back to college, and doing college all online, I found myself in several different classes that prompted a lot of thinking about politics and about sociology and about it, but it gave me a lot of freedom to express myself and how I felt about it. And again, I'll refer back again to being a single parent and some of the challenges that I've faced throughout the years, and also some of what I've learned in trying to help other young women go through the, you know, similar circumstances. So The Fatherless American actually was a compilation of dozens and dozens of papers that I had written while I was at University of Phoenix. And in writing one, it would go along with the theme to one I had written 6 weeks prior. And so in the end, the story is probably long and deserving of another book. But in the end, I found, or I should say she found me, my ex-husband's first wife found me on Facebook. And through talking to her and telling her what I was writing and what I was doing in my college studies, she actually encouraged me to put all the papers together and get a book published. So that's how the book transpired. So it's an interesting story, but someday we'll share the entire story and how I became very good friends with my ex-husband's first wife.
And with The Fatherless American, and this is something I've said on this show before, Jeannie, this country has no leaders right now. Nobody willing to step forth and really actually be the father of the country to lead us through this. And that's what really caught my intrigued me about this book, is really we are a fatherless country right now because nobody's sure of where to go. Does that kind of fit in with the book?
I think it kind of does. I mean, I'm looking at it more in a perspective, both, you know, historical and political and religious, but fatherlessness is an epidemic in this country, and it has been for years and years and years. And I actually have a chapter in the book that talks about fatherlessness and what it's done in American politics. And in that chapter, let me get over there to that chapter for you. I do talk a little bit about the generation that we've raised in our country, in the generation of fatherless children that are now growing into adulthood and becoming these leaders that haven't had father figures in their families, and what it's doing to the children that are looking to these men to lead. And it's a completely different culture than it was, you know, decades ago. I would just say that from my book and that chapter six, I'll read just a tad. And it said, it would appear that millions of American children may have a voice with our president of the United States as the son of a single mother. President Obama may indeed embark on the journey of addressing this national crisis. However, one should note that he, as well as other of this generation of political leaders, are products of single-parent households. Some were fortunate enough to have male influences in their developmental years, while some were not. In all, it is evident that the ethics in politics has changed, and Americans' reaction to this political morality has also changed. In the end, it's the integrity in the leadership that has completely changed the landscape of our country.
Or lack of.
So there you go. That's the heavy book.
But here's the thing that I'm really, you're talking about a fatherless American. But, the inner cities are just, there is so much talent wasted in the inner city and throughout this country and the world because they don't see a better way to live. And how would bringing fathers and the male gender back to having to be accountable for what they do, how would that open the world up?
Well, I like I said, I do touch on different topics, and some of it is in the inner cities. A lot of it is now that so many members of different ethnic minorities are incarcerated. That's another huge problem for fatherlessness in our country, and especially in the urban areas. I mean, there are so many fathers that are arrested and not available to their children. And there are so many children that are wandering. Some flourish. I will have to say that with a lot of hard work by the parents, by the grandparents, and by the mothers that actually seek out role models for their children. And it could be somewhere through their church or through community groups and service organizations. I particularly was blessed to find wonderful male role models in the music programs in the public schools for my children. And I would say the mother of a fatherless child needs to go beyond her comfort zone and actually seek out role models for these children to help them. Because it really does take a village to raise a child.
And it does take everybody to be involved in some way in everything.
Yeah.
And, this country right now is in such search of a way to expand out of the, I call it an economic awakening, but really, it's a communication awakening. And how would the fatherless American, if somebody chose to read it, actually open them up, open out their insight to see how they could be a companion or a big brother, big sister to a child?
Well, and like I said, there's many different ways. Another thing that I do in this particular book, even though it is, it is definitely a nonfiction piece. It's not your book that you sit by the pool and read on a Saturday afternoon kind of book. It does offer some suggestions And I have to say, probably one of the best examples that I have seen is how some of the military support organizations help military families reach out to communities. And there are several different organizations out there that support military families. And they actually have the best tools as far as, you know, little tips and tricks that you can get the grandparents more involved, extended family more involved. You can also reach out, like I said, you can reach out to your church, or you can reach out to community organizations or service organizations in your area where your children can belong to a group that may have older role models available. There's also, you know, Big Brothers and Big Sisters and some other organizations that are out there that are, they are there to help. And it just takes a matter of reaching out and asking for help.
And you're also the author of another book called Publicity and Marketing for Mere Mortals. And both books are available at publishamerica.com. And you can just, you can actually just go into the search engine and find it. But how would a guy, what does this book enlighten people about? Publicity and Marketing for Mere Mortals.
Okay. I know it has kind of a silly name, but it is Publicity and Marketing for Mere Mortals, and it says you can do this. And this is another book that came from my personal experiences. It is a work of nonfiction again, but again, this was born out of my time while I was at University of Phoenix studying communications for my bachelor's degree. And what had happened is throughout the years, I have had my own small businesses. At one point, I owned a child care facility in my home. I was also a real estate broker for a time. And I've had several different occupations throughout the years that I've had to do my own marketing. And without any formal training other than through, you know, through work. So what I ended up doing is later on, again, as my children grew, and they all three joined the public school music programs. And trying to volunteer my time to support them, I found myself the volunteer publicity chairperson for each of my children's schools. And so after 10, 15 years of writing and advocating for public school music programs, I found that I had developed several relationships in my community with local media and nonprofits and small business owners. And I would just go about doing what I do, and that's basically writing and sharing news on social media and sending articles to local newspapers, television stations, and radio stations. And I found out that somewhere along the line, a publisher said, you know, you can get paid for this. And I'm like, that's interesting. So I found that I've always liked to write. I always love sharing good news of good things that are happening in the community. And I found that there, now that I had become professional after graduating from University of Phoenix and opening my own company, that there were still some smaller groups and church faith-based organizations that really could not afford the services of a public relations person. So the next best thing I could do is I could offer to write some of my tips and tricks and put them in a book. So some of the smaller, like I said, sole proprietors, faith-based organizations or civic groups that don't have a budget for marketing or publicity. So they could use this book and perhaps help them get the word out about what they're doing and events that they might be having.
And to further this along, Jeannie's website is thywordpublicrelations.com. And the call-in number to ask Jeannie questions is 718-305-6548. And again, the website is thywordpublicrelations.com. And I was on that web, on your website last night, and it's really an interesting website. But there's some there's something on here that caught my eye. Oh, the Byword Public Relations is a consultancy firm that specializes in working with individuals, artists, musicians, and so on, churches, programs, organizations, and companies that are typically perceived by the public as unknown for their contribution to the betterment of the residents of the community. And really what's got there, how do you bring people, let's say a business, let's just say in Florida, to the public eye through what you do?
Okay, well, one of the things that I found is that, you know, I am a student of communications, and my degree, like I said, is in communications. I am well-versed and trained in doing sales and marketing communications, as well as crisis communications. However, what I personally find very interesting and where my passion lies is finding out the really good things that people are doing in the community that no one knows they're doing. And what I've been able to do is, because I'm a consultant and I don't have a big office and a big staff or all that, any of that, is that I'm very fortunate that I can pick and choose the people that I work with. And what I find is that I work with small business owners, artists, musicians, and book authors. And what I get to hear the most amazing stories of things that they've been doing in the community that people just didn't know about. I'll give you a couple of examples. I have a young lady that she's a 30-year-old woman with Down syndrome that is an artist. And I met her and her mother about 6 months ago. They are the most kind, generous people you've ever met. And what my job is, acting as a publicist, is to help Miss Katie, that's her name, share her artwork with the community as an inspiration to other children and young adults with Down syndrome that there is no limit to what they can do. And Miss Katie has actually become quite famous in our area and just recently returned from Washington, D.C. at a Down syndrome convention and was just recently interviewed by a fashion blogger from New York City. So we're very excited. But this is just one example of the terrific people that I get to meet. My company slogan is that it's, you want to sell to people, buy an ad. If you want to tell people, call me. And that's really what it's all about. I like telling people stories. And I like sharing good news of things that are going on that can be inspiration to other people.
Now, I want to point something out to people that the way Jeannie just spoke. You want to listen to the clarity in her voice. And she was very upfront and very unique in the way she spoke. It was very clear. But I'm also on her website, and Jeannie's picture is right there. There's two things I've learned about pictures. You always want to look at the eyes and see if they're clear, and look at the picture to see if it's real or fake or egotistical. And when you go to Jeannie's thywordpublicrelations.com, you're going to see Jeannie's eyes are clear, her face is clear, and she's looking right at you. And it's a very straightforward. That's something to look for when you're going to do business with people. And also, you touched on a subject that was very dear to me, Jeannie. The lady with the Down syndrome, are they the handicap or are we the handicap for not trying to, unwilling to understand them?
Well, in my experience working with this family, And listening, you know, of course, there's so much more to their story that, you know, out of confidentiality that I wouldn't be allowed to share. But just to let you know, I am awed and humbled to have been chosen the person to share their story. That's the way I look at it.
Because, you know, it's like I got a friend, she's got three kids with autism. not just one, but three. And when I talked to her, she said, yeah, there's a lot of things they can't do, but there is one thing they're super good at, and it's like that young lady you was talking about. They discovered her talents. They're not here to fit into society. They're here to lead society with showing them how to do one thing and do it well. Would you say that's pretty factual or that kind of something?
I do agree. Yes, I do, Rob. I think not only that, but some people are chosen to show us that we can be better people. And I think sometimes you find that with people that are challenged have an innate ability to make us become better people. And I know that's the case for some of the people that I work with.
And
you know,
see, that's
the site. I'm sorry.
Go ahead. I'm sorry. I interrupted you.
I'm just saying that, you know, I think society would look at them as having a challenge, but I think it in reality it would be just reversed.
I agree with that. You know, it's like, you know, the football player with all the talent always picks on the highly smart kids. I don't like calling them nerds because they're smart people. And, you know, the reason they actually pick on the football players pick on the brainy kid is because of fear.
Of course.
It's not because they're more anything. They're jealous, and it's a fear because that other kid can do things they only wish they could do.
Exactly. Exactly. And I see that, like I said, I'm so pleased and honored to have the opportunity to share so many stories like that with small organizations that barely have any money, but they go out and feed the poor. So many different people, small businesses that regularly support the Leukemia and Lymphoma Society, even though they don't make that much money themselves. You know, it just seems as though every day I get, like I said, the honor and the privilege to be able to get to meet these people and share their stories, and even more so have developed the relationships with the newspaper publishers and editors so they accept my stories and they print them and they share them, and that way the community gets to be encouraged by some good things that are happening. You know, there's just too much not so good stuff happening out there right now. And I think all the good things that we can share and spread the word about, I think the better.
I definitely agree that. You know, to me, Jeannie, the biggest fear people fear is their own talents and wealth and success. I really feel
I would.
What's that? Go ahead.
No, go ahead. I'm sorry. It was breaking up.
I mean, that's really something that I'm really starting to understand. People fear their own talent and being willing to engage. And I can see with what you do, Jeannie, you actually engage people in their own abilities to show their own true wisdom to the world. Am I pretty close there?
Yeah, I would agree. I would say that most people, if most people would get out of their own way, they could do great things. And sometimes it's easier than others to get people to understand that some act of service, some act of charity, some act of philanthropy that they're doing is actually quite remarkable. And it's sometimes it can be very difficult for people to understand that. And it's kind of my job to come in and explain, you know, I'm not trying to, you know, spin your story or create any hype. I'm trying to share your story so someone else can see what you're doing and do the same. And so sometimes it can be a little difficult because sometimes people are afraid.
And, you know, they're not so much afraid. They're afraid of what other people are going to say, wouldn't you say?
Yes, I would. I would. And in my experience, too, like I said, even sharing in good news, I mean, we have, you know, there are snafus that happen when you try to share a message publicly. But I'm finding that most of the people I work with, if I counsel them and I've done my homework and I'm truthful with them about what to expect, that even things, you know, like social media that so many people, small businesses are afraid of, I can explain to them that it's a good thing, that communicating with people and reaching out is a good thing.
And I'm on Thy Word Public Relations website, and I'm on the product page. I'm just watching this, how things go. But there's something that you do, and it's called a press release. How a press release is very simple, but yet how effective is it?
For the most part, it's extremely effective, and it's absolutely mandatory for just about anything that you want to convey to the public, whether it's an event. You can also share in a press release. You can share a promotion. You can share a business accomplishment. You can share a book being published. You can share an art gallery showing. There are, you know, multitudes of purposes to the press release, but there is a very specific format that has to be followed.
And that's very true. But I'm on the bottom here. And retainer services, what would somebody do? What would it take for somebody to have you on retainer, Gene?
For me, it's probably much less expensive than a firm because, like I said, it's myself. I don't have a staff. I tend to work much better if I can have a smaller client load. So my retainers basically are set by the client on how much they can afford of my time per month. And it's set up similar to, you know, what you would do for having a lawyer on retainer. Some clients pay $200 a month and they only need me to do their social media and write for that. There's other clients that $500-$800 a month because they need a lot more coverage because they have a big event coming up. It really depends on the client.
And also, Jeannie's books are available on her products page, The Fatherless American and the Publicity and Marketing for Mere Mortals. I love that title. But go to her webpage, Thy Word Public Relations, and look at it because it's really very simple, but yet very to the point, just like Jeannie is, and when she promotes somebody. And Jeannie, we're getting down to the end of the show. What would you like people to know about Thy Word Public Relations and Jeannie Ferrara?
Well, a couple things. First of all, that it is possible to do promotion and publicity with integrity, without any hype, without any spin, just to tell a story. But the very core of any public relations is about relationships. It's about creating relationships with business owners and nonprofits and media people and reporters and publishers. It's really about creating relationships. So if you can do that with integrity, you can help just about anyone. And if anyone's interested about learning more about my area and where I'm from in South Central Eastern Florida, you can take a look at another client of mine is treasurecoast.com, and that will give you a lovely overview of the little slice of paradise that I live in and why I am far too blessed to be stressed.
And I want to thank Jeannie for being here. And we'll have Jeannie back because I have a whole bunch of questions that she can enlighten your life with about public relations. But I want to point something out. She said something, integrity. And more, with integrity, she does it. That is very hard to find in the deal. And it's Thy thywordpublicrelations.com is the website. She's available on Facebook and all over. But anyway, go to her website and allow yourself the privilege of expanding your business with Jeannie. And thank you for being here, and thank you all the guests. Thank you, Jeannie.
Thanks, Rob. We'll talk to you soon. Thank you so much for having me.
Oh, it was my honor and my privilege. And we'll say goodnight, and we'll be here Thursday night with Shelley Bloom. With Shelley Bloom.
That sounds great.
You have a good night.
You too. Thank you.
You betcha. Bye.
Bye-bye.